News and talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN. It is time for the Lawrence Business Magazine Show, and here is your host, Ann Frame Herzog.
Thank you, John. Each week we have in-depth conversations to follow up and explore the people and businesses making a positive impact on Lawrence. Today I'm pleased to have from Parks and Recs, Ernie Shaw, he's the director, and Mark Hecker, superintendent of parks and maintenance for the Lawrence Parks and Rec Department, who I think are definitely making a positive impact on Lawrence. Hi, guys. How are you?
Doing great.
The last couple of weeks, we've had 3 to 5 women in here. So this is a little different. It's nice. What we're talking about is Parks and Rec. I want to talk about you guys too, personally. Like, Ernie, how did you, what is your history in Lawrence, and how did you become part of Parks and Rec?
My history in Lawrence, basically, my whole Park and Rec career has been in Lawrence. I came straight out of college and came to Lawrence with my first full-time job back in 1975. So been here a while and went through different jobs up through the ranks of Park and Recreation. Went to college thinking I was probably going to be a coach. Went on an athletic scholarship and got in a couple of classes that dealt with Parks and Recreation. And I thought, oh, this is kind of cool. You know, a lot of different avenues to look at, use your creativity, and be able to go into a community and hopefully be able to stay in that community, unlike coaching where you,
that's true.
You're probably moving if you're winning or if you're losing. So so I thought that Park and Recreation would suit me well, and apparently it has. So.
Oh, that's great. Well, where did you go to college?
I started my career at Coffeyville Junior College and then finished up at Pittsburgh State.
Very cool.
Then have my master's up here at KU.
Great. Well, thank you. So we'll have to get into all the changes you've seen over the last few years, I guess. What about you, Mark? How did you come to be part of this?
Basically, I got a degree from K-State in horticulture and worked part-time jobs all through college in the park field. So actually, I've been working in Parks and Rec since 1979, which is kind of scary when you start adding up those years. But got a degree in horticulture, went to the city of Emporia for a few years and worked there as a horticulturist. Then I came to Shawnee County in the Topeka area and worked as a forester. Got promoted up to park director. Stayed there for, gosh, a little over 10 years, and then I've been here in Lawrence in the current position for the last 14 years. So been here for quite a while.
Well, that's really cool. I like the balance here. You come from the horticultural side, the green aspect of Parks and Rec, and you come from the rec side. So that's, you guys really have a nice balance between the two.
Right. And that helps us.
Yeah, I would think
administratively.
So. Administratively. Definitely. Well, Parks and Rec, let's talk about this. We talked about it in the previous issue of the magazine. Just the numbers of the Parks and Rec, just how many parks, how extensive the organization is. Let's talk a little bit about that. How many parks, how many acres, how many people? Let's just talk some numbers here.
I'll throw a few numbers out, and Mark can talk more in depth on the parks. But over the years, and Fred DeVictor, which retired in 2007, was a main instigator of going out and finding parklands ahead of development. And he had, in his career here, brought our park system along. We have over 52 parks now and over 3,500 acres of land within that, which is just tremendous for a community this size in Parks and Recreation. We employ somewhere around 67 full-time people. And on any given year, and depending on the season, we may employ any place from 600 to 700 seasonal and part-time employees.
Wow, that's significant. Mark, let's talk about when you started that conversation. You talked about the you're buying land ahead of that. What does that mean?
Basically, we need to get out in front of development and kind of forecast which ways the city's going. So we work a lot with the planning department to forecast. You know, here's the urban growth area, here's where we think the city's going to go. So we try to get out and buy land ahead of time so the land value, that we can buy it at a lower price than waiting for the houses to get there. Once the houses get there, the value of the land goes way up, and it's harder for us to purchase land. So staying out quite a ways out, you know, we're starting to look at some of the properties now that were purchased 15 or 20 years ago that we thought, wow, those are way out in the boonies. but now you start to get housing and development around it, and we need to develop that park. So it's kind of an interesting planning game to stay ahead of development, especially, you know, when Lawrence is really booming there for quite a while. It was, we were moving pretty quickly to purchase land. We've slowed down a little bit with the economy, but it's it's an interesting game almost to kind of guess which way we're going to need the next park and what will they need in that park.
Well, and that's interesting. So when you're buying the land, so how do you kind of have how many parks, like how many, you know, homes that you want to have a park in, kind of like to keep these neighborhoods? How do you guys, do you have a ratio or is it just luck?
No, we have actual plans and maps mm-hmm. that will actually map out what the use area is of a park. You mm-hmm. know, if we look at a half-mile use area around each park, okay. we know that that's the neighborhood that's primarily going to use that park. And, you know, we can expand it out to regional parks where we get a little bit bigger circle mm-hmm. around those parks. But what we try to do is cover the whole city and so mm-hmm. that we don't have big areas where there are no park facilities.
Right.
And, you know, that's kind of hard. If you look, go back and look, you can see, oh, boy, we missed a spot right there. Mm-hmm. And there's no way we're going to get a park back there, probably.
Right.
And that's the hard part in established neighborhoods that, you know, if you miss it as the planning process mm-hmm. goes, you don't get a chance to come back usually.
So you have neighborhood parks and then you have regional parks that mm-hmm. that have more facilities, I assume. That's
right.
Why.
Something right. like South Park or mm-hmm. Centennial Park. Those are more regional parks where they mm-hmm. have bigger facilities that we draw people from all of the community to come to those. So.
Mm-hmm. And there's little pocket parks even that aren't so as popular anymore, but small little parks that may have nothing more than a playground in them mm-hmm. in a neighborhood. That are scattered around the community also. But when you talk about regional parks like the Clinton Lake, mm-hmm. you know, that's a 1,500-acre lease that we did from the Corps of Engineers a number of years ago, which was a great purchase that has, you know, Clinton softball complex. It has all of our soccer fields at
right.
YSC, our baseball fields, our football fields, Eagle Bend Golf Course. Uh-huh. You know, what a great partnership, you know, mm-hmm. there for the city of now over 1,600 acres of land that was federal land mm-hmm. that has these great facilities on it. And the land cost the citizens of Lawrence nothing, you know, for all these facilities. So
no, those are great facilities. And then you also do the bike trails and stuff too are yours?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we maintain all the bike trails. And it's kind of interesting. Some of them go right along streets, so you see them a lot. But then, like, the SLT trail winds out through, you know, areas that you don't see unless you're on the trail. So, mm-hmm. but, yeah, we do, you know, there's, I don't even remember the total miles. It's a lot of miles.
Yeah, I like the trail. So you have the bike trails, and then you also have, so you have the parks, which are pretty easy to, when we see those, we know that, you know, mm-hmm. those are Parks and Rec, when you see the parks. But then you also have other facilities, like the Carnegie Building.
Right.
And the swimming pools. There's more than one, right? There's
we basically operate four different pools, you know, the Indoor Aquatic Center, the Outdoor Aquatic Center, the Carl Knox Auditorium over at Lawrence High, you know, the wading pool downtown. So we have a lot of facilities like that. And then mm-hmm. Obviously we get into the softball, baseball fields
right.
where there's, you know, 20 or 30 of each type. Mm-hmm. You know, we have 15 soccer fields at the YSC complex. We have 28 ball diamonds around town. So those are big. And then we get into things like public landscaping. Mm-hmm. We're very much part of what Lawrence looks like. So the downtown streetscape, that's us, you know, that what is the appearance of downtown?
Right.
We view that as a linear park. Mm-hmm. And most people don't think of it that way, that, oh, who does the trees and who picks up the trash and who does the street
right.
sweeping and that sort of thing. So, and then city entrances like, you know, North 2nd Street or McDonald Drive, or a lot of, when you first drive into town, what's mm-hmm. the city look like? We deal a lot in that public landscape realm.
So all the presentation of Lawrence. What one of the things that I with Parks and Rec, so I have to, you know, I've told this gentleman earlier that I'm a big fan of Parks and Rec because I think what you guys do is extensive, and I'm amazed at how many things you do. And it's not just the facilities, though, that you're maintaining. You're not just doing, you know, keeping on this. You're also staffing them. You also have your leagues. I mean, you have all these leagues that you guys also run. So you have the recreation service. You're not just the facilities, you're the services as well. So
exactly. I mean, we offer in our facilities and not just leagues, but all types of different activities, over 450 different activities a session that
yeah.
we run. You know, everything from aerobics to dance to, you know, baseball, softball, you know, archeries.
It's amazing.
You know, our nature center, a mm-hmm. lot of people, you know, don't even know we have a nature center. We have, you know, this beautiful prairie that's never mm-hmm. been touched, that's right in the middle of town, basically, that is just an oddity.
But that's Prairie Park, right?
Prairie Park, and Mary's Lake, mm-hmm. and people that go over their first time sometimes don't even know it exists. But, you know, we try to market it and tell people it's there. And
well, I've been to a couple of kids' birthday parties out there. Exactly. That's really wonderful. So
yeah.
That's
and we something else coming up is our October, they always have a great nature Halloween party out that they include the animals with, and it's a great event. So
that's cool. Yeah, but then you also have the aquatic centers too. Obviously, and this is what you're talking about, seasonal employees. You have your the swim lessons, all that sort of thing, as well as your having it open.
Right. I mean, now we have the indoor aquatic center, which is year-round.
Right.
You know, we have those programs year-round. We work with the schools. Mm-hmm. We, you know, partnerships. And that's one of the things that that we've really increased over the last few years. But our partnerships with the school district, especially at Free State, at the indoor school, we have all their events plus all of ours. And the guards, you know, all our officials in the summertime are part-time employees. Mm-hmm. All of our facilities that we operate are seasonal employees or actually part-time employees that work evenings, weekends a lot of the times mm-hmm. for us. So, but yes, all of our instructors for those 450 activities that we offer, you know, we have to have an instructor for Zumba, for aerobics, for whatever we're having, you know, so.
That's a lot of coordination.
Yeah.
So now that coordination, that's all done through your offices. You have a couple of people that are just in charge of those programs then?
We have obviously more than a couple. we're set up in recreation by adult sports, youth sports, classes, mm-hmm. Special populations, special events, and who did I miss?
Facility operations
and aquatics, mm-hmm. I think. So those are our seven divisions in the recreation side, and they are primarily responsible for all, as you said, all the classes and then scheduling all the people that it mm-hmm. takes to operate and run those. And then on Mark's side, we coordinate with them, of course, for all the cleaning and setup and repairs at mm-hmm. the facilities that we're in that it takes to do these. So,
and the funny thing about that is people don't realize that what it takes to put on that softball league. Mm-hmm. You know, the adult softball group program it and put the officials in place, but what did it take to get the ball diamond ready, get the chalk there, the bases are the right length, make sure the lights come on and off.
Right.
So it's a coordinated effort between the program staff and the maintenance staff, because we operate on two separate sides of the staff chart, but boy, we better know what each other's doing, because if we don't, you know, every night there's about 28 to 30 games that have to be prepared for, and mm-hmm. the right length of base, the right pitching mound, the right lines. So it's an interesting coordination process that all happens, plus all the facilities. Mm-hmm. You know, how many classes are going on at once inside the facilities, how many different reservations are happening, how many park reservations are happening, all the park shelters. You know, we have a rec track system that's all that system does is we input things and then we pull it back out to say, okay, today we have to do these 38 things, mm-hmm. and then tomorrow we got these 64 things. So any given weekend, we may be running, you know, four or five different events in this community, if you look at the pools or the parks or the, you know, out of the softball complexes. So it's interesting coordination process.
Yeah, and just the amount of when you're talking about having 600 or 700 employees and not having them be full-time employees, so you're getting them up to speed as well. You're not just – you have to – train them and get them up to speed.
That's a constant continuation mm-hmm. of training that staff do, whether it be you know, officials or lifeguards, and of mm-hmm. course there's a lot of standards and qualifications that you have to have. I mean, we have, for instance, lifeguards, especially when we have all four facilities going at one time, it takes a lot of staff mm-hmm. and a lot of training. And unlike a lot of people think, you just can't take somebody off the street to be a lifeguard.
Right.
You know, they have to be able to swim, and mm-hmm. they have to be able to swim a certain amount, and they have to be able to, you know, set out in a 100-degree temperature, you know, and takes a lot of that. So it takes a lot of coordination and a lot of training for this, and it's constant.
Well, I would think that you would, I think from reading the you guys are one of the biggest employees of, like, in the summertime of kids and stuff, mm-hmm. too, right? Because a lot of these kids, it's their first job working mm-hmm. once they get of age to be a lifeguard or to help out in RECs, run, do the programs. Yeah. But you have all that, but then you also have a lot of volunteers. And we'll get, I think we're going to be coming back here in a few minutes. This is Ann Frame Herzog with the Lawrence Business Magazine, and I'm with Ernie Shaw and Mark Hecker of the Parks and Rec Department.
Right here on 1320 KLWN.
Join us at the Kansas City Renaissance Festival
for jousting, shopping,
music,
and revelry.
Experience the thundering horses,
the clash of steel,
and the taste of victory.
A lifetime replacement warranty. Call Solar Concepts at 856-TENT. That's 856-TENT.
News and talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN. Let's continue with the Lawrence Business Magazine show. And once again, your host is Ann Frame Herzog.
I'm here with Ernie Shaw and Mark Hecker from Lawrence Parks and Rec. And we've been talking about the huge operation that is Parks and Rec. And before we left, we were talking about just about how many volunteers you guys use on it. Not only do you employ a lot of people and part-time, you have a ton of volunteers that work with you, too. I had down that you have maybe 750 volunteers. Does that sound around?
I think we have more like 3,000 or 4,000 or 30. I can't even remember, but I mean, just our officials alone, mm-hmm. or not our officials, but our coaches. Just think of all the coaches and assistant coaches for all these teams mm-hmm. that we have, and every one of them has a volunteer coach and assistant coach, and usually two or three assistant coaches that help out, and then of course all the parents that bring all the snacks and everything for them, plus all the flower plantings that we have downtown. We have a lot of people that volunteer just to come into our centers and help mm-hmm. us at different times and things too, and special events, tons of people for runs and mm-hmm. our arts and crafts fairs and things like that. So yeah, we have thousands of people a year.
Well, what you guys do, I think, is a center of our community. And we were talking about earlier when just the look and feel of Lawrence is so, I think, tied into our parks and the presentation and what you do. And I grew up in a small town, and I was saying that Lawrence has it's a city, but we have a small town feel. And I think that small town feel is a lot because of what you guys do with the parks and having all these parks around town to have the neighborhoods and have places where people can go and the green space. So that's my on my little substance. But what about how if people want to get involved doing volunteer work? How do they get involved? Can they do?
Oh, we constantly have feelers out or information out on our website, mm-hmm. And obviously people can get a hold of that. But things to watch out for is we will really market hard when it's time to start planting flowers, downtown, mm-hmm. or we plant them all over the place. So we put feelers out and to a lot of organizations are just out on information that it's time to volunteer. And, of course, our coaches for our sports leagues, they are constant, you know, that we have a new sports leagues coming up, and we are always looking for good coaches mm-hmm. to come in and coach. And a lot of times it's parents, but a mm-hmm. lot of times we're finding people that enjoy it so much that after their kids leave, they're still coaching.
That's great.
You know, our college students mm-hmm. are coming and coaching. So, but just give us a call at our office at 832-3450, and we can always hook you up with a volunteer somewhere.
You can keep them busy, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Well, then, so that's about your volunteers. Now, let's just talk a little bit about the budget, because your operating expense comes from different places. And when you have extent of facilities and personnel that you guys utilize and hire and staff, what is your operating budget, and how does that break down?
Okay. I'll let Mark do some of that, but basically, and it sounds like a huge budget, but as you just said, when you have, over 3,500 acres of parks and all the buildings and the aquatic facilities and the golf courses and, everything we have, the depots, mm-hmm. the historic buildings, and as most people know, with those historic buildings, which we have a lot of them now with the Carnegies and the depots and, a lot of the different, even the community buildings and mm-hmm. places like that. Even when a roof goes, it's right. more than putting shingles on anymore when you work with a historic building. But our general fund, which is what Mark works in, is all property tax supported.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in 2013 is about $3.3 million, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the recreation side is, as of this year, actually, is all sales tax supported, has no property tax. So that 1 cent sales tax back in 1994 that the people voted on is what supports, along with the user fees that mm-hmm. come in, which is close to $2 million now in user fees, but it's about $4.3 million in 2013 for the rec side.
Okay.
And then with some of the special rec and downtown and then our golf course, and of course the golf course is run on an enterprise fund that mm-hmm. we don't spend more than we bring in.
Okay.
So we estimate that income around $900,000 a year, and our budget not to exceed that mm-hmm. from our expense side. But all total, we're right around $9 million with all funds together.
Yeah, that's a pretty huge budget. Now, how has the economy affected that budget over the last several years? Is that because your parks didn't go away? You still have the parks no matter what you do.
And that's pretty much been the challenge. The general fund's probably been the biggest challenge. So mm-hmm. the general fund funds all the things that you would think of don't really support revenue. So in other words, the parks, the trails, the right-of-way maintenance, that sort of stuff. So that's probably been the biggest challenge in maintaining funding in that level. We've lost positions over the last 4 or 5 years just because, you know, the city commission have to make decisions on, we got this much money, where do we put it?
Right.
You know, and that's kind of the whole game with the whole city is, you know, is it fire, is it police, is it parks, is it public works, is it utilities, where does the money go? So, you know, I think everybody's, you know, had a little bit, little hit on the budget, but, you know, we look at it as parks aren't going away, and mm-hmm. we just need to adjust. And we've done a lot of adjustments through the years. You know, we do a lot more contract labor now than we used to do. Mm-hmm. We used to have more full-time staff where we would mow all the parks. Mm-hmm. Well, now we mow primarily the major parks, and then we'll contract some of the right-of-way maintenance to contract mowers because they can do it cheaper, faster than we can. And, you know, it looks like a better business deal to us. And, mm-hmm. you know, it quite frankly is. You know, they'll hire the staff, they buy the mower, they pay for the gasoline. You know, if their mower hits the curb, that's their mower, not the city's mower. So it makes pretty good business sense in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
To go along with that, sure. I mean, the coordination that we have in with the recreation, and Mark's right, the challenge has been the general fund.
Mm-hmm.
The sales tax has held pretty steady through all this, which is amazing, but it has. And not only has it held steady, but the people and the services through the recession has went up. I mean, we've had more enrollments than we've ever had year and year and year. We have 3-5% increase. And some of that obviously is people aren't taking long, big vacations, but they're wanting things and wanting to do more things and stay close to home.
Right.
So seeing, you know, increases every year, mm-hmm. which is great for the rec side and the revenue side, but it means more work
for the facility
side. So that's mm-hmm. been the challenge mm-hmm. of trying to balance need versus what we have to mm-hmm. really work with and keep things up and keep things going and losing staff and things like that. So that's where the challenge has really been.
I would think that's a huge challenge.
Yeah,
and the other thing with that too is the city has continued to grow, and you mm-hmm. you think, okay, it's not growing very much, but it does grow a little bit. And every time there's a new piece of right-of-way put along that, you know, a parkway, say Clinton Parkway, that's mm-hmm. that's us to maintain. But if we put a new roundabout in, well, once it's in, then who maintains that landscape in the roundabout?
Okay.
So you continue to grow as the city moves forward. So, you know, even though the budget's kind of stayed about where it was, we continue to grow the park mm-hmm. system, and or a new neighborhood will develop next to one of our future parks. And then they start talking to us about, hey, when are you putting our playground in? When's our drinking fountain go in? So, you know, we need to continue to move forward. We can't just say, mm-hmm. oh, nope, we're good. We're going to stay where we are. We have to move forward with as the community grows.
Well, I think that's really fascinating because one of the things I never realized, I mean, when you talk about parks and rec, I mean, you're really city facilities
mm-hmm.
more than, because it's not that parks and rec is just not parks and rec, but it's just when you're talking about the Carnegie building, all the city buildings, you guys maintain the
exterior landscape
and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then the ones that are actually the depot, those you guys actually do maintain the actual facility mm-hmm. as well as that.
Right.
I mean, and then I know the Carnegie building, which has been a new thing, and you've somewhat generated some income, which is
right.
great. But those things just never went through my head that that would be Parks and Rec. And when you talk about this budget, in some ways, that's a lot to do with that budget. Well, that's a lot of facilities.
Yeah, and along with that, people don't think of cemeteries being a part of Park and Recreation.
No, I did not think of that.
Yeah, and we have three of them.
Wow.
So, and we deal with the people that need those services. And quite honestly, it's a park. I mean, mm-hmm. It really is. I mean, you care for it like you do a park. Mm-hmm. It is, has a lot of obstructions that you have to trim around and spray around and mow around. But you maintain it like you mm-hmm. do a park. So.
Wow, I had never thought that. That's a lot of stuff. Now, when you're talking about these facilities, we will bring up and talk more about some of the other, this new facility people we've been talking about. And the magazine, the last issue where we had Gene Meyer on the cover and we had the big article on Parks and Rec, the new, we were talking about the facility that was being thought, planned and stuff to be out on the 6th and whatever, 6th and K-10. Or,
mm-hmm.
So they're still talking about it, but it's changed a lot. So give us a little bit of an overview about where Parks and Rec is standing now, and then let's talk about why we need this facility. I mean, what is this facility going to do for us?
Well, we started planning this a facility. I mean, we've needed another recreation center mm-hmm. for years, and the big thing that keeps coming up, and one of the reasons we can't continue to expand many of our programs that need large space, indoor space, is because of gym space.
Mm-hmm.
And something people forget, over the last few years, this community has lost over 6 gymnasiums. You had the sport-to-sport facility that had 4 or 5 gyms in it. Mm-hmm. Now it's a tennis facility.
Okay.
We had our gymnastics mm-hmm. up at KU for 25 years, and we lost those gyms.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to take that program to East Lawrence Center that had a half gym plus the big gym, but we used the half gym just to have small kids gymnastics. So
mm-hmm.
6.5 gyms over the last few years we lost. Plus, for our community, national statistics say that for our size, we should have at least 20 gymnasiums that are public gyms. Well, we have one at the community building, one at East Lawrence Center, and one at Holcomb. We have three public gyms, but we utilize as many grade school gyms and things like
mm-hmm.
that. That's what gets us through for all of our leagues and everything. But the need has been there for a long time. So we started planning this 3-4 years ago,
mm-hmm.
Worked with Bill Self and the Assist Foundation, and he was very much on board and still is with that. And then about the time we got ready to take, I think it was a 4 or 5 gym facility that
mm-hmm.
we were going to put out by Free State on 29 acres of parkland.
Right. Uh-huh.
We were going into commission. We had hired or interviewed for the architects and engineers to get it approved. And then some partners came up, Dwayne Swada and Thomas Fritzel,
mm-hmm.
and said, hey, we've got some land at 6th and 10 Highway, and we'd like to donate some of the land and put your center on here.
Mm-hmm.
And then through that process, KU got involved, more partners, and started that planning on the northwest corner.
Mm-hmm.
Well, since then, now KU has decided they needed more land in order to put some other facilities like softball and lacrosse and, you
right.
know, besides the track and besides, mm-hmm. You know, things like that. So KU now is mm-hmm. discussing on purchasing land
on the west side.
Yeah, on the east side.
So in the same general area, just kind of like
just north of the corner
of
the Makata land.
Mm-hmm.
And there's about 109 acres there, I think. And that's kind of where we are now on that site planning for
mm-hmm.
that. But KU has now asked the city to come along where
mm-hmm.
it was kind of reversed before,
right.
Where the city was going to own the land, but now the KU Endowment is trying to buy the land and say,
okay.
City, you come along and be a part of the complex mm-hmm. over here on this side.
Well, that sounds exciting. That's and also in the evolution here, it's actually become a bigger facility too, right? You're saying it's adding more things,
yes.
but the primary purpose and one of the reasons for Parks and Rec is the need for these facilities. I mean, I know that
right.
just as my son is trying to find practice facilities for his basketball teams,
mm-hmm.
it's ridiculous. They're going around and banging on doors.
Right.
Right. So what and the need here, what, how many, how does this service, you know, there's all these different things I hear. It's going to be a field house. It's going to be a gymnasium. It's going to be, you know, all these different things. Do we, what's the primary, its primary purpose?
Well, the primary purpose has always been, I mean, we need gym space. We need gym space. And that has been from the beginning, mm-hmm. through the surveys, through the number of public meetings we've had, that has been recognized mm-hmm. by the city of Lawrence as needing more space. I mean, we have had to cut our leagues down so much for our kids to play basketball. They are playing, our rec leagues are playing six games and have to be finished by December mm-hmm. in order so we can have indoor soccer, because okay. we don't have enough gyms. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're playing, some kids like to play basketball a lot, you know,
right.
but they got six weeks to play, because, or we have to go with a 10-game season and say, well, these 30 kids can't play because we just don't have room for them.
Right.
You know, and we don't want to do that. So, and we don't even have a girls volleyball league to speak of. Those are things that we haven't been able to do because of the lack of gymnasium space. So, number one, we need this. We feel, and I think most of the community through our surveys and public meetings feel that the space is needed for the mm-hmm. community first, but the facility that is being looked at could potentially be large enough and be able to use for economic development on weekends for tournaments that we know tons of teams that go out of town every weekend
right.
and go to other locations mm-hmm. in Wichita, Kansas City, Topeka, you know, all over for tournaments. So we think it can be used for economic development also.
Yeah, and that's Mark, you were trying to say something
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Well, no, I was just going to make a point about the if you think about the sport-to-sport facility, that used to be our competitive venue. So the kids played park and rec league, and then, okay, I love basketball. I want to get into a competitive traveling team. That's where those were held. When that went away, we had to try to absorb all that competitive in also with our recreation classes. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, we just completely overburdened the facilities, and we can't do it all. You know, Ernie mentioned volleyball. We don't do volleyball at all in Lawrence, and that's a shame, because there's a lot of teams and a lot of kids who want to play volleyball.
There are, and we were, I mean, when we come back here, this is Ann Frame Herzog in the Business Magazine with Mark Hecker and Ernie Shaw, and I want to talk about this new facility and when you're just what you said about the economic impact that this facility could have, and not just the services, but how it's going to affect affect our economy here.
Right here on the News and Talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN.
The Infinity Furnace from Carrier can save you up to 40% on energy bills versus previous models. And right now, save even more with Cool Cash, up to a $1,100 rebate and special financing offers.
Shopping center or online at WayneandLarrys.com.
News and Talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN, continuing with the Lawrence Business Magazine show. And once again, Ann Frame Herzog.
I'm here with from Parks and Rec, Ernie Shaw, director, and Mark Hecker, the superintendent of Parks and Maintenance. And we're talking about the new facility that's been proposed out on 10th and Walker, 10th and 6th Street. No, 10th Highway and 6th Street.
Yeah.
But just before we get in back into that, I want to let our listeners know that the Lawrence Business Magazine is published quarterly and available at local Hy-Vees, the Merck, and other convenient merchants around town. It's also available online at lawrencebusinessmagazine.com. Online, you can find out who our next guest will be on the radio show, and you can submit questions and comments for our guests at questions@lawrencebusinessmagazine.com. Like us on Facebook, where you also can find out updates and information. And we'd love to get your comments and questions, but in our effort to encourage an open dialogue, we ask that you put your name on it. So let's, when we were just talking about this, the new facility and how it's, you know, it's a big undertaking. It's it's going to have, you talked about being able to have volleyball.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just having facilities to play volleyball. It's also being able to have things like tournaments
mm-hmm.
and the economic, and let's talk about the what kind of economic impact we could have with this facility, the services it would provide locally, economically, and how it would be paid for.
I'll talk a little bit about the tournaments.
Okay.
What this facility has programmed in it currently is 8 full-size gyms and then 3 soccer fields that are for smaller kids, basically. But but what those 8 full-size gyms allows us to do is just all types of marketing for tournaments. There's regional volleyball tournaments, basketball tournaments, you know, anything you can think of, karate, wrestling, you know, and those things travel throughout this region, Kansas City, Topeka, Wichita. And what our idea is, and we know this is available because we've talked to all these groups, that we could start marketing every weekend to put a tournament in this facility. And what that does for us is basically brings people to Lawrence. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when they're here, if they're here for a 2 or 3 day event, they're obviously doing the hotel rooms, they're eating out, they're going downtown to shop. You know, and even a one-day event. A one-day event, they're going to at least come in. They're probably going to eat somewhere. They're going to do something before they leave town. Mm-hmm. So we know we're going to bring a lot of dollars to Lawrence. And we see that as a real positive. And also the development around that center.
Right.
Once a big sports venue like this develops, then what happens to the properties around it? Do the hotels start springing up? Are there some more restaurants springing up? So we see that as kind of a push for the economic development on the northwest part of town.
Because right now, when you're talking about those tournaments are happening. They're just happening in other places. So all those tax dollars and all that economic benefits going to Johnson County, going to Topeka, it's not that these tournaments aren't happening. It's just that I know people, you know, are leaving town to take their kids to those tournaments, and they're spending money outside of town where they would hope could be here and bringing people into town.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I coach club volleyball. So every weekend we sit down and say, okay, where do we want to play? And you look at, there's a list of 20 sites that, mm-hmm. that are hosting tournaments this weekend for this age group. And we're going to go to Wichita this weekend, or we're going to go to Kansas City. You know, we should be going to Lawrence, mm-hmm. and we should be going, you know, staying closer. And,
right.
you know, that sort of stuff. And even developing the group a club in Lawrence that is home-based in Lawrence, that's a huge thing, that people start coming here to play our teams mm-hmm. as opposed to our teams all going somewhere else to play. So it has a lot of interesting potential because it's just almost endless. If you think about volleyball, the ages start at 10-year-olds and go up to 18s. Uh-huh. Well, there's gold, silver, and bronze in every age division. So every one of those ages has a potential to say, okay, we're going to do a 12 and under silver tournament this year and fill up 8 gyms. You can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can do 14s, or you can do 18s, or you can do whatever you want. So there, it's almost an endless possibility to program this facility.
And that's basketball. I mean, or volleyball. Think of basketball. I
right.
mean, everybody wants to come to Kansas anyway mm-hmm. for basketball. And just this morning, I read that Coach Self is getting the Wooden Award. I mean,
that's pretty wonderful.
You don't
yeah.
have to market Lawrence for basketball. Mm-hmm. People want to come to Lawrence for basketball. It's got the history of basketball. And I think we can have tons of basketball tournaments here. Mark mentioned the 8 full-size gyms, which is true. The amazing part of this, because of volleyball and getting space, we also have 16 certified junior high cross courts.
Okay.
So there's junior high-sized cross court basketball, 16 of those in this facility, or 16 volleyball courts. And one of the big things marketing this facility, some of the places Mark were talking about, going for tournaments, and what a lot of these tournament venues look for are venues that can hold 60, 80, 100 teams in mm-hmm. one location, because it's much more cost effective and easier on the people coming to have it all in one location than 4 or 5 locations
right,
around town.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, and if you think about just the numbers, we can probably get 1,200 kids playing in that facility on a given day. With those 8 courts, so that's a lot of people in town. Yeah, it's a lot of parking stalls, but that's a lot of folks that are going to kind of come in and out of Lawrence. So that's
how you see those tournaments being, you know, your Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Mm-hmm. So what's happening in this facility on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday?
It's been an interesting process, because we basically threw that to our staff, uh-huh. who are very, very, very creative people, and said, okay, fill this facility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Monday through Thursday, what are we doing? Obviously, the evenings we have leagues, we have practices, all the youth activities that everybody thinks of.
Right.
Then there's adult sports. What do we do with that? We still have basketball, volleyball, futsal, dodgeball, you know, anything mm-hmm. and everything in adults. But they said, okay, what about during the day? Well, there's the senior programming. There's programming for kids after school. They came up with a 3-page list of, hey, I could do this and this and this and this, you know, things that we haven't even been able to dream about
because,
in our current facilities, because there's not enough space. So I am confident they will fill it.
You know, no, no. Well, I want to talk, before we run out of time here, I want to talk about, so this facility, I know that we're talking about KU and the Endowment Association purchasing the land. Where does the funding, this is a big financial amount of money to build a facility like this. Where does this money come from?
This money comes from, and I go back to the 94 sales tax, the 1 cent sales tax for the county, that quite honestly, I think it generates right around $9 million a year for the county. Half of that goes for relief of the property tax, but then there's still $4.5 million normally for that. What is being proposed back in 94 when this passed, the primary purpose was it for recreational venues and get facilities and operations of those venues. And we have, over the last 15, 20 years, had a lot of projects, $30 to $40 million worth of projects that we have done. Now those had been bonded. They have been paid off.
Okay.
So our preface was a second generation of bonding.
Okay.
And that's what this project would do. We would take that same 1 cent that everybody is still paying for whatever and roll that into this project. And there would be no increase in tax, no increase in your sales tax or anything. It's just a rollover of that 94 sales tax to pay for this project.
Wow, that's great. So we're not talking about any new bonds or anything. It's something that's already existing that we're going to continue to now that we're not using the funding for the aquatic center and things like that.
The aquatic center, tons of parks that we did, Holcomb, YSC, a lot of those projects that we done have now been paid off.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. So then this money, I have also heard that we have some other, with the Endowment Association, Bill Self, all these different funding things. When people, and then we also have people, your naysayers. So I think we want to address one thing. So when people are saying, what is the biggest misconception when people are talking about this facility that you would like to have put to bed, that the misconception is out there for not having this facility?
Well, I think one of the biggest things is, and something that we kind of addressed, is the fact that this is, a need for Lawrence. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've seen that for years. There's been studies such as PLAY that was done back in 2006 and 2007 that actually said back then, before even any of this was talked about, that we needed over 100,000 square foot facility with this many gyms in it to serve the programs that we had at that time. Well, that's been 5, 6, 7 years ago now that has occurred. So now we are seeing that come to reality from that study that says that for our recreation and the city's recreation and the people's needs, that this facility is needed for that. But a plus of that is, with this facility and being in KU and in Lawrence, we think we can bring some economic impact in too.
Yeah, I think that's really exciting for me. It's just the amount of just bringing more people into Lawrence to really bring in tax dollars that outside of Lawrence, instead of just having taken our money and taken other places. We can live local here and do some things locally. It doesn't mean that we're not going to go other places, but it's nice to have those tax dollars and bring in more revenue here.
And yeah. I think that's the reason our 1 cent sales tax, our sales tax has done so well. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, is the things we bring in, and of course with KU and students coming in, that 1 cent that everybody buys something here, and that's what we're talking about going to pay for this facility. So. Mm-hmm.
One of the other points that people continue to make is that, hey, you need to maintain what you have before you go build something new. And I think that's a continuing effort. And we always set aside X number of dollars every year that go to existing facilities and maintaining existing facilities. And people think, oh, well, you're taking all the money and putting it in a new place. Well, no, we can't do that, obviously. Mm-hmm. We have way too many facilities and way too many things that we're in charge of to start neglecting any place else. So that's always in the back of our minds. We know what we need to maintain. We aren't taking on something new and forgetting the old, because quite frankly, the stuff we have is very important and people use it all the time. That's why we're able to justify a new facility, is that, look, we have these facilities and they're maxed out.
The need is there.
We can't say, okay, we aren't going to maintain East Lawrence Center anymore. Mm-hmm. Well, we have to maintain East Lawrence Center because it's full too,
right?
So that's just something that people tend to generalize that a little too often, I think.
It's not a this or that stuff. It's an and.
Here. Yeah, it really is.
You're additionally, you're going to increase the services and have an economic benefit and impact on the city in a very positive way, I believe. Just like you guys do, as people, everybody comes into town, they love Lawrence. One of the big reasons that they love Lawrence is because of what Parks Rec does, and I think you guys have been do a fantastic job.
Thank you.
And I want to thank you very much for being here, Ernie and Mark. This has really been informative, and I hope our listeners learned a little more about how, the extent of what Parks and Rec and how huge your operation is. Our listeners, we'll make sure we have a link to your site on our magazine online at lawrencebusinessmagazine.com. Again, like us on Facebook for updates. Each Thursday at 9 a.m., we have in-depth conversations to follow up and explore the people and businesses making a positive impact on Lawrence. And I think everybody here, hopefully listening, knows the impact that Parks and Rec makes on our daily lives here, just the green space, and makes our city beautiful. So thank you for joining us. The Lawrence Business Magazine, every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. here on KLWN 1320, redefining the concept of business.
It is 9:59 here at the News and Talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN. Update on your forecast.
Morning low 36, partly cloudy, kind of hazy, becoming mostly cloudy. South winds 10 to 15, 72 for today. Tonight, cloudy, gusty winds, 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly after 8 o'clock, 49. Chance of showers and thunderstorms and windy, 62 tomorrow. From the 1320 KLWN Weather Center, I'm meteorologist John Weatherby.
This summer, they'll represent the United States in London. Then visit your hometown to celebrate the American tradition of gymnastics with you. The Kellogg's Tour of Gymnastics Champions will feature the sport as you've never seen it before.